Well, good morning and welcome to part four of our series, Who is God? Before we get started, I want to say a huge happy Mother's Day. We honor all of our mothers. There's many forms of the word mother, whether you're a biological mother, a stepmother, a woman who is a mentor and makes a difference in someone else's life. We honor you and we just thank God for you. And we bless you and pray for you today on this special Mother's Day. Well, here we are coming to you this morning from the campus of UNC Charlotte, which is right across the street from our church. In the background, you will see a building, which is the Atrium Health University Hospital. And I just want to say that we are so appreciative of our healthcare providers as we're dealing with this pandemic that's throughout our world today. And we're praying for all of our healthcare providers as they serve to care for those who are sick. We are in a hurting world right now, a world that needs healing in many ways. And today in this installment, we are talking about just that, as we have entitled this part four of our series, The Lord is My Healer. And before we unpack this, let me give you some of the whys of this series. Again, this series is based off of an Old Testament story where Israel was in bondage for 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And God called Moses to be the deliverer and sent Moses to Pharaoh with a message from God, let my people go. And the title of this series is from Pharaoh's response in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, where Pharaoh said, and who is God that I should listen to him? And so each week we are looking at this question, who is God? And secondly, who is God that I should listen to him? And as God reveals to us who he is, and we discover who he is that we should listen to him, then we are asking each week a third question, what then is our response to him? And so as God revealed himself to Pharaoh, as God revealed himself to Israel, so God wants to reveal himself to you and me today. And so oftentimes God reveals himself through our experiences, through difficulties, through crisis, through uncertain times, and God demonstrates who he is. He did that for Israel and they would attach a name to him based on that experience and their discovery of who God is. Why does God reveal himself this way? Because God wants us to know him, which is the goal of this series. This is not just an informational series of discovering the names of God, but this is a series that calls for our response. So I want us to look again at the 23rd Psalm together as it illustrates all seven of the qualities of the seven redemptive names of God that we're building this series around. So let's begin together reading again as we're doing each week there from your home. Read with me the 23rd Psalm. Let's say it together. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's just take 1 minute to recap. Week one, we broke out that first part of this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And it revealed to us the first redemptive name, Jehovah Rohi. He is the one who watches over me and guides me into all truth. And we discover that he is the Lord, my shepherd. And we discovered what our response should be to that, and that is that we should know the shepherd. Week two, we broke out the part of the psalm that says, I shall not want. NIV says, I lack nothing. And it was revealed to us the second redemptive name, Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. And we discovered the Lord is my provider. And our response is, put my trust in the Lord who provides. And last week, we looked at this part of the psalm, which says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And it was revealed to us the third redemptive name. He is Jehovah Shalom. And we discovered the Lord is my peace. And our response to this is that we can rest in the Lord, my peace. We can experience the peace of God when we make peace with God. And so today we're going to look at verse 3, where David said, he restores my soul. And the fourth redemptive name today is that we shall discover he is Jehovah Rapha. And we discover that he is the Lord, my healer. So I want to take us to a place in scripture where the first mention of this is revealed to us. And the scene is where Israel has come forth out of Egypt, the mass exodus out of Egypt. And they are beginning their journey into freedom, but they look behind them and here comes Pharaoh's army after them. And they're up against the Red Sea. I'm sure you're familiar with this scene. And God miraculously, by the hand of Moses, parts the Red Sea. And Israel goes forth over the across the sea on dry ground. As they get across, the army begins to pursue them. The waters cave, covering the enemy, destroying their enemy forever. And then there is Miriam's song of victory that God has thrown the horse and the rider into the sea. Just go 3 days past that scene, and Israel, in their journey, goes 3 days with no water. And they finally find some water in a body of water called Marah. And the reason it's called Marah, the name Marah means bitterness, because when they went to taste of the water, they found the water to be bitter. And the people cried out to Moses and said, why have you brought us out here 3 days into the wilderness with no water? And Moses began to call on the name of God. And God showed him a tree there, and he took the tree and he put it into the water, and the waters were made sweet. And then came this instruction from God. And he said this in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He's saying, I am Jehovah Rapha. So he said, if you'll follow me, if you'll follow my commands, if you'll keep my decrees, then I will lead you in a way that is healthy to you. I'm going to not put upon you these diseases of the Egyptians. In fact, Psalm 105, verse 37 records that when he brought them forth, it says this, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribes. So they were healthy as they came forth out of Egypt. Now, you've probably seen scenes where they're kind of stumbling along and they're very feeble, but according to scripture, God brought them forth, not victims, but brought them forth victorious. But there's a teaching moment in this, and that is that we need to discover that God heals. Now, interestingly, a lot of times, as I said, we'll go through experiences, and through those experiences, we discover who God is, and there's the reveal. But God himself declared, he declared it himself. He said, I am the Lord that heals you. I am the God that heals you. And so God, I believe it's very important that God wants us to understand he is a healer. And I believe the same is today. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is still our healer. Again, this hospital that's right over my left shoulder here at University area, when you look in the medical field, you'll see that they have a symbol that represents the medical field, and it's a staff with a serpent around that. And you might ask, well, what's that all about? Well, it actually dates back to where Israel was on their journey, and there was some sickness, and they came to Moses, and God had Moses instructed him to put a serpent on a staff, and when they would look to that staff and that serpent on the staff, that they would be healed, which that sounds kind of strange. Why a serpent? Why a snake on a stick? What does that mean? And he said, when you lift that up and you look to that, you will be healed. Well, actually, it represents something pretty phenomenal. If you remember, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, the tempter came to them in the form of a serpent, and sin entered in. And because sin entered in, sickness entered in, and disease entered in, and we came into a fallen state, and we fell out of relationship with God. But fast forward, Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And he was lifted up on the cross, and all of our sins were placed upon him. He became sin for us. Isn't that amazing? And he took our place. He took the punishment. He paid for our sins. And what God was showing, it was looking forward to Christ, in that he was to become the sacrifice for us, and he would pay for our sins. And when we look to him, we can be healed. Can I tell you, when we look to Jesus Christ, there is healing. Healing is available. And the fact is, yes, we do live in a fallen world, and sickness is a direct result of that. Directly or indirectly, all sickness comes from the fact that we are in a fallen world and the result of sin, of us disobeying God. But listen to this, his healing is available, and his healing is available in every sense of the word. Healing is available in every sense of the word. No matter what's going on in our world today, healing is available. I believe the church needs to rise up and pray some bold prayers to a God who heals. He heals our body. He heals our soul. He heals our spirit, which those three areas is what we're comprised of, body, soul, and spirit. Can I tell you, healing is available physically. The physical healing is available. And some say, well, he doesn't heal. Can I tell you, I believe that the great physician has not closed up shop. He does still heal today. And when you've had an experience and you've experienced his healing, someone said, you've come too late to tell me he doesn't heal because he's healed me. And I always got to testify to you that he has healed me. I have seen his miracle working power in my own life. Some of us just need to experience that. Like the man who was healed, and the religious leaders of the day began to question him as to whether Jesus really healed. And he replied to them in this way in John 9:25, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. You know, a man with an argument is no match for a man with an experience. I remember as a young teenager, before we go to church, we would go and pick up a lady who was blind, and I would help walk her down the aisle and help her find her seat and bring her to church. And I can also remember the time when she was in the altar and she was praying at the church. And when she got through praying, she opened her eyes and she could see. Can I tell you? That was pretty exciting. I want to tell you, God is still the same. He is still the same today. In 2020, God still heals. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 says that he prophesied that Jesus would come with healing in his wings. Surely the woman that's recorded in Mark chapter 5 knew this, who had an issue of sickness for 12 long years, and she heard about Jesus, and she said, oh, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment. She must have known this scripture, because when the Bible talks about healing in his wings, if you look at the robe that they would wear in those days, the fringe of that or the hem of that was actually called the wing part of that garment. And the Bible says there's healing in his wings. He would come with healing in his wings. And she declared this in Mark chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. It was faith in God's word, faith in that prophecy, faith in Jesus that healed her, and she was healed in that very moment. And I just want to say this, when I look at the life of Jesus and he walked this earth and he demonstrated his healing power, we see many accounts of this. Scripture tells us that the Bible couldn't contain all the miracles that Jesus did, couldn't be contained in the book. And yet it says that these were written so that we might believe. So Jesus demonstrated these things, these miracles and healings, for the purpose that we would know him. And he was moved with compassion. Bible says he was moved with compassion when he saw the needs of the people. Can I tell you, your situation, your need doesn't repel Jesus. It actually attracts Jesus. He comes to those in need. So your situation, it may be physical today. It's not hopeless. And God doesn't dismiss it or discount you or disengage with you. He seeks you out. He comes, the Bible says, he comes for the sick. He comes for the blind. He comes for the lame. He comes for the lost. He comes for those that are hopeless. And he still heals. And even after the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples, God did many miracles and healings through the disciples. They would bring articles of clothing to the disciples from someone that was sick, and they would anoint those and pray over those and take it to them. And they were healed through the power of Jesus' mighty name. God still heals. And you could say, well, why doesn't he always heal? Well, why doesn't he always heal? Well, I don't know the answer to that, and I'm okay with that. I can serve a God who's bigger than me that doesn't fit in this brain, and I don't have all the answers. I know that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Sometimes he answers yes. Sometimes he answers no. Sometimes it's wait. But in the process, we learn to trust him. But all I know is that God still heals. He may heal in this life or the next life, but God still heals. So physical healing is available. Can I also tell you that emotional healing is available? That's that soul part of us that where we have our emotions and where we reason and where we think. And many of us need an emotional healing today. Psalm 23 says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Or one version said, he refreshes my soul. He refreshes. One version says, he refreshes my life. And just as those waters of Marah were very bitter, God showed Moses that he could take a tree and put it in that bitter water and it would be made sweet. God wants to take that thing that has happened to you that perhaps has turned you bitter and it maybe turned you angry or caused fear even to come in your life. God comes to refresh and to bring healing. Let me quickly move to another area, and that is spiritual healing. Can I tell you that spiritual healing is the most important healing? I believe that if we get spiritual healing happening in our life, it'll affect the other areas in our life. You'll be amazed. Spiritual healing. Again, Psalm 23 says, he restores my soul. That word restore in the Hebrew is the word shub, which means to turn or return, to retreat, or in a sense of going back to somewhere you have been before. God wants to turn your situation around. He wants to turn it around. And then it says he restores, he turns, he's going to turn that around, my soul. Now that word soul in the Hebrew is the word nefesh, which literally means breath. And it's described this way, to breathe or to be refreshed in the sense of getting your breath back after being winded or maybe sitting in a fresh breeze where there's a wind when you're hot, when you're tired, and there comes that gentle breeze. And in both cases, one is refreshed. Now I find this very interesting when you look at what these words mean, because God's saying, I want to turn this around for you. I want to turn something around inside of you, and I'm going to do it with a breath of fresh air. I'm going to breathe into you. And there's that spiritual part of us that God breathed into us, and God wants to refresh that. In fact, the word spirit, when we describe the Holy Spirit, we don't have a good English word for it, but really the word in the Old Testament in the Hebrew is the word ruah, which means wind or breath. In the New Testament, the word is pneuma. Again, the same meaning, wind or breath. Isn't it interesting? When God created us, he breathed life into us, the Bible says, and we became a living soul. We were God breathed. God breathed a part into us that will live on forever. It's the breath of God. It's his Holy Spirit, that breath of fresh air. And God wants to bring that to you today in the way of a spiritual healing within you to turn around, because perhaps that thing that God put in with you, that life that's within you, has taken the wrong turn. because of the course of life and things that have happened. We become bitter, we become hurt, we become offended. There's things going on within us that has turned us in the wrong direction. But God says, I want to turn that around. I want to bring my fresh air into your life. How has he provided that? How is it that then God is our healer? How has he made that available to us? Let me bring this scripture to you again this week. It's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, describing what Jesus was to do on the cross for us. It says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. One translation said, by his stripes, we are healed. It goes on to say, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sickness, our diseases, our infirmities, he has laid on him, and he has paid for that. He took the suffering for us so we wouldn't have to suffer. He was wounded so we wouldn't have to be wounded, so that we could be healed. Interestingly, there is an amazing connection between healing and salvation, between this spiritual part of us and the rest of us, physical healing and emotional healing. It's so tied to the spiritual. Notice again what God said in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 when he revealed that he is our healer. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, that's talking about our relationship with God, following him. And look at the connection. Then I will not put on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. There's a connection there. There's a connection between following the Lord and our health, our spiritual health and otherwise, in every sense of the word. That health, it's connected to the spiritual. When we follow the Lord, when we keep his commandments. Interesting, we say commandments, and the Bible describes it as commandments, and they're not suggestions, but here's the thing about commandments. It may sound all real harsh. Can I tell you that all of the commandments of God were written for you? Not one of them were for him. They're for our benefit. They're for our good. They're for our health. They're for our well-being. The master knows how to direct us in the way that we're designed to go, in the way that he designed our life to go. Jesus Christ comes to bring healing to us. And there was a connection, again, when you look at the life of Jesus as he walked on this earth, between the spiritual and the physical. In fact, on one occasion, Jesus was going to heal a man. And when he went to heal him, he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And they said, well, how do you have the power to forgive sins? And Jesus responded this way in Luke chapter 5 and verse 24. He says, but that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And the man was healed. But notice the connection between the spiritual and the physical. Jesus has the power to forgive sins, and he has the power to heal. But the greatest need is to be healed spiritually. Again, the physical and the emotional is connected to the spiritual. I heard had a pastor years ago that would say everything is spiritual, directly or indirectly. It's a result of the spiritual. You know, it's like one person said, ulcers do not come from what you eat, but it comes from what's eating you. There's something on the inside of you that's happening that affects every other area of our life. And oftentimes, you know, life is rough and we've turned the wrong way and we've dealt with it and we've found mechanisms and things we use to be able to deal with the things we go through. And oftentimes they've turned us into something else. They've wore us down. I think when I think about that term, wore us down, I think about a coin. You know, they say a coin after it's in circulation for a long time gets worn down. But God offers to have that coin reminted. You can have that coin reminted and it's refreshed. And that's what we're talking about. God comes to us to to help us and to resolve those, the fear or the anger or those places in our life that's caused bitterness. It may be that times we've adjusted and we've compromised our life and we've conformed, trying to accommodate things going on in our life. But can I just share the scripture with you? Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." God's not calling us to die for him. He's calling us to live for him, right? "A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And then it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed," watch this, "by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." God has a will. God has a plan for your life. And can I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know, some of you may say, "Well, life is not what I thought it would be. I'm disappointed. I thought life would be up here, but now it's down here. It's not what I thought it would be. The road that I've been on is long and winding, and it's tough, and things have been going on." But can I tell you, sometimes if we're not careful, life can turn us into something that God never intended us to be. We've dealt with it our own way. We've went our own course. We've tried to adjust and accommodate and maybe even conform, and it's turned us into somebody that God never intended us to be. I think about that commercial. I don't know if you've seen it, where the person is hungry and they're acting out of character of who they really are as a person, and they give them a Snickers bar. And they say, you're not yourself when you're hungry. And they eat the Snickers bar and they turn into a different person. Sometimes it's that way with us. We've adapted to life, and we're not who God intended us to be. But God says, "I'm here to restore, to turn you around, to refresh your soul." We could come back to the Lord and he can restore us. We could come back to the manufacturer, to the original design. That's what this is talking about when God says he'll restore our soul, who you are as a person, who God intended you to be. God wants to restore your life, and only God can do that. You can come back to the manufacturer's default setting. You can get the master plan going again in your life. God's able to, and only God can heal. I heard someone say, "Well, time heals." Can I tell you, time doesn't heal anything. Now, God may use time, and over the process of time, he may heal. He can also use people in the process of healing, but ultimately, it is God who heals. God restores our soul. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." What's that talking about? Following the Lord fully. Look at the result. "Then I will forgive their sin," what's the connection, "and heal their land." God wants to heal our land today. God wants to heal you. God wants to heal your heart today. God wants to heal your life today. God wants to heal you body, soul, and spirit. But God, most importantly, he wants to heal your heart. Someone said the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And the eternal part of you is what is most important. So today's message, let's answer some questions. Who is God? The revealed of who God is that he is Jehovah Rapha. Who is God that I should listen to him? We discover that he is the Lord, my healer. And what is our response? What should our response to be today? It should be this, to put my faith in the Lord who heals, who heals. You can have victory today over whatever you're going through. We used to sing a song called "Victory in Jesus." And one of the lines in that says, "Come and heal my broken spirit." And can I tell you, Jesus can come today in his amazing ability, and he can restore your soul. He can restore your soul. That's what he comes to do. That was David's prayer in Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, where David said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. How does God do that? Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. God, give us a responsive heart today. May we respond by putting our faith in the Lord who heals. How beautiful a story of Israel coming to that body of water, Marah, and Moses showed him a tree that if he would put the tree in the water would be made sweet. Can I tell you what I believe that tree represents? I believe it represents the tree that Jesus hung on, the cross where Jesus died. And when you put Jesus in your life, it'll sweeten your life. It'll change your life. Jesus comes and he says, I make all things new. 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness. And that's going to be what we're going to into next week. By whose stripes you were healed. It's already been provided. It says you were healed. Jesus has already provided. God says, I am your healer. For you are like sheep gone astray, but have now returned, we've turned around, to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Who is God? He is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. We put our trust in him. The world needs a healer. People in this hospital behind me need a healer, but you and I need a healer. His name is Jesus. He can come and restore, refresh, and things begin anew today for you and I today. Can I tell you, you're one heartfelt prayer away from the healer coming and healing your heart on the inside. Would you allow him to do that today? Could you respond to him today by allowing him to come and heal you on the inside? He can heal your body. He can heal your emotions. But he comes to heal, most importantly, your heart. Would you allow him in your heart today to do that? Can I pray with you? If you need to pray this prayer, would you just from your heart, come on, all you got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. Come on, pray this with me. Say today, Lord Jesus, I come to you in faith that you are my healer. You see my heart. I open it to you now. I invite you to come in. Heal me on the inside. Forgive me for going my way. Lord, I turn to you. I need you to refresh me and to make me new. I invite you now to come on the inside. Say this, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I invite you in now. Thank you, Lord, for paying for my sins. Thank you for providing for my healing. Today, I declare that you're my Savior and you are my healer, my Lord and my Master. And with all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen.